Not after today. Not after today am I going to be. Not after today am I going to be going through the same things I used to go through. Not after today am I going to be making the same decisions I used to make. Not after today am I going to walk in the same things I used to walk in. Not after today am I going to be confused and bound up with stuff that I used to have authority over me, but now I have authority over them, but I'm letting it slap me left, right, and center. Not after today. Not after. In fact, you got to get some show enough attitude. See, the thing about it is, sometimes believers try to be too cute. Not after today. You know, trying to be all nice. Not after today, Mr. Devil. No, bro, not after today. It ends right now. I draw the line in the sand. Years ago, when I might be dating myself, but years ago, when you got ready to fight, man, there wasn't a whole bunch of talking going along. You know, you put a stick on your shoulder, you put a rock on your shoulder, and you say, if you knock that off, then this is what he said about your mama. Or if you did this, he's talking about your daddy, or whatever the case may be. But at some point in time, you knew you had already drew a line in the sand. If you cross that line, bruh, it's about to go on. And it's the same thing what happens with the adversary. When he crosses that line, when he has audacity to come against you as a child of God, he has the audacity to try to come against your finances. He tries the audacity to come against your family. He has the audacity to try to touch anything concerning you. You got to draw the line in the sand and says, not after today. I have see, the thing about it is people have tolerated far too much. You got to get show enough attitude. You have to be righteously indignant about the foolishness that the adversary is trying to keep you in. And I'm here to tell you right now, we're going to share the word of the Lord with you tonight, that you are coming out today. You ain't not after today. When God says, I want you to give him the title, not after today, he says, not after today, not after today. See, the thing about it is this. God says this. He says, my children are to be childlike, but not to be childish. Now, he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But now that I have become a man, a grown, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. In other words, what he's saying is, he said, there was a time when you first got born again. There was a time when you first came into the knowledge of God. There was a time when you first had come to the altar and said, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And you still had childish ways. Childish ways mean what? You still was acting like somebody who, what does a child do? A child still, you know, has accidents. A child spills milk. A child bumps his knee. A child does all these little things. He says, but when you become a man, when you begin to grow up, when you begin to mature, what begins to happen? You put away those childish things. You put away those things that used to held you bound. You lay those things aside and you make a conscious decision. I'm walking in the things of God. That's it. That's all. See, sometimes when you first get born again, I'm be real. When you first received Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you didn't know a whole lot about walking in the things of God. So you still probably cussed a little bit. You might have smoked a little bit. You might have drank a little bit. You might have done a whole bunch of other little things, just a little bit. But you're trying to get your way out. But the more that you begin to nurture yourself in the Word of God, the more you begin to grow up in the things of God, the more you begin to understand who you were and the position that you had with God, you says, not after today. I'm putting off that. I've had enough is enough. You know, when you talk about when God says enough is when you say enough. Enough is enough. I'm not putting up with that stuff. Now, the thing about it is God never wants you to be deceived. See, God doesn't want you to be deceived. That's why he gave you in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, he talks about this. He says he himself, talking about Jesus, has gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why did he give you pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers? Well, he answers the question. For the equipping or the maturing of the saints. The only way you're going to begin to be put off those childish ways, the only way you're going to be able to grow up in the things of God is you're going to have to be mature, and you got to be taught, and you're going to have to be equipped with the word of God so you can grow up. And you, when you begin to grow up, you will begin to recognize when childish things are coming up against you. So you'll find out this, glory be to God. He says, not only are you, he's going to cause you to grow up and mature, he's going to cause you to grow up and mature for what purpose? So you can do works of the ministry. For the edifying or building up or the growing of the body of Christ until we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. See, the thing about it is, God never expected you to stay a baby the rest of your life. See, if you was 4 months old and you was having accidents on yourself, okay, that's what a four-year-old does. But if you 24 years old and you mature and you still having those same accidents on yourself, you can't get to the washroom and there's nothing medically or physically wrong with you, then we're going to be looking at you like, bro, what's up? What's going on with you? It's the same thing in the body of Christ. When you begin to get in the body of Christ and God, Jesus said, I'm providing you these gifts. I'm providing these tools. I'm providing my word. I'm providing the Holy Spirit. I'm providing all these things to help you to begin to grow. And it's like somebody who goes to the gym. When I first got born again, I'm going to tell on myself. When I first got born again, I mean, on the outside, because I used to go to the gym all the time, I was like, pow, 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 pow. I mean, I had muscles on top of muscles. And I'm standing in the mirror one day, I'm in the gym and I'm flexing. And I'm feeling good about myself, but I'm freshly born again. And the Lord said this, I never forget. I didn't even know it was the Lord at the time. He said, on the outside, he said, you are rock solid. He says, but on the inside, he gave me something that I can understand. He says, on the inside, you, it says, your spirit man as is skinny as one of those children that you see on those Feed the Children commercials. And I was stunned. And he's like, see, what I need you to do, I need you to build up your inner man to be stronger than your outer man. He says, because as long as your outer man is stronger than your inner man, you will always be led by your flesh. So that put me on a journey that day and said, you know what? Starting today, I'm going to begin to get in the word of God, because the word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, talks about a desire to sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, and that it will nurture you and cause you to grow. And that, you know, as you're according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, how, you know, he's giving you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to mature you or to grow you up, so that you can do the works of the ministry. So I made it a point that day that out after today, I'm not only going to work on my outer man, because I still went to the gym. In fact, I stopped going to the gym for a while and just focused on my inner man, because I needed my inner man to be stronger than my outer man, so I'm not being led by my five physical senses. When it's talking about being led by your flesh, it's talking about being led by your five physical senses. Glory be to God. Now, why? Remember, he says, I'm giving you these people so that you're not, that you can grow up. He also says this in verse 14. He says, so that you should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, the reason why he's giving you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, he's giving you his word, he's giving you the Holy Spirit, so that you can see for yourself. In fact, that's the very reason why we put the scriptures on the screen and we give you the address. I never want you to take the word of word of a man unless he can show it to you in the word of God. And even after he shows it to you in the word of God, you make sure you go back and you study it for yourself so you can make sure you hear it in the proper context. I need you to make sure that when you're hearing the word, that we're going to teach you the word in its proper context, line upon line, precept upon precept. I need you to make sure that you write the addresses down, and then you go back, you or your family or friends, you go back and you write these addresses down And that's why we put the point is on there as well, so that you will understand exactly what's being said. That's the same reason why we put it on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and on other platforms. And we have a podcast that Ignite to Life. We put it on there as well. Why? So even after you hear this message, you can go back and you can hear it again, and you can hear it again, and you can hear it again. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, I want you to know something. God is not going to bring you out. God has already brought you out. See, God's not going to bring you out of darkness. God has already brought you out of darkness. In fact, in accordance to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, it says this. He says this. He says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. He says, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. See, God is not going to call you out of darkness. God has already called you out of darkness, and you answered the call. See, the thing about it is, he's already sending the word out there to call people out of darkness. He'll have this person speak a word to you. He'll have this person say it in the program. He'll say, have this person say it in the song. He'll have this person say it on your job. He's already calling, and he's sounding the alarm. Come out of darkness. Come out of darkness. Come out of darkness. And sometimes people hear, but they don't hear, and they see, but they don't see. And God says, I've already made a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. Now, when we talk about darkness, we're not talking about your lights being cut off. We're not talking about you going outside and the sun is in. When the word of God is talking about darkness, what it refers to is this. Darkness means there's an absence of light, that the quality or state which renders anything difficult to be understood. Have you ever been trying to think about something and trying to study something or trying to meditate on something, and no matter how much you keep trying to, it just seems like you can't get understanding at all? And it says it also is a state of being intellectually clouded. You can't think straight. You can't understand because there's no light. It's just darkness all around. And he says, but God has already called you out of that state where it's difficult for you to understand. He's already called you out of a state where it is, you're intellectually clouded. He says, I've called you out of that. He says, but I've called you out of the darkness, and I've called you into the marvelous light. What is light? Light deals with being something that's illuminated. It's something to shine or make manifest. It also is especially by is luminous. Like we said last week about how in accordance to Psalms 119 and 130, how it says the entrance of God's word brings light. The entrance of God's word brings illumination. The entrance of God's word brings revelation. And what happens when you get a revelation? It shows you the way that you are to go. That's why it's always important to make sure that whatever you listen to, that when you hear the word is talking about bringing you out of darkness and to the marvelous light. And see, for us, that's why it is imperative that we can't be silent. We can't be quiet. We can't hold our mouths quiet. We can't not say or speak forth what the word of God says. Why? It says because in accordance to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3 and 4, I'm reading down to the Passion Translation. It says this, even if our gospel message is veiled, it is only veiled to those who are perishing. Who are those who are perishing? Verse 4 tells you who they are. The ones who's perishing, for their minds have been blinded by the God of this age. Who's the God? This is not talking about God, Jehovah. This is talking about the adversary, because Satan is the lowercase God over this kingdom age, over this age. He's not the God over the entire world. He has authority over the age on earth, but he had authority on earth, but over this system, this world system, he's the God over this age. And what is he trying to do? He wants to blind you. He wants to bring darkness over you. Why? Because he knows that when he blinds you or tries to veil the gospel before you, it leaves you in unbelief. His goal is to leave you in unbelief. He also says that in the word, it says their blindness keeps them from seeing the day spring light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the divine image of God. So what will the adversary do? He'll try to give you all kinds of arguments and reasonings and theories that try to exalt themselves higher than the word of God to try to blind you or keep you obscured from the light, keep you in darkness where it's hard for you to understand, make it where you are intellectually clouded so you cannot see the truth. But that's why when you and I, as men and women of God, as people in the body of Christ who are sent forth to speak forth the word, when we speak the word of God, what happens when you speak the word of God? You bring light. You are bringing light on the situation. Did you know in Genesis chapter 1, when God, it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says in verse 2 that there was darkness around the cover of the earth and water covered the earth, and it was dark. And how did God? He said, light be, and light was. How do you cause the darkness to go from around you? How do you cause the darkness to go away from around your family? How do you cause the darkness around your situation, the circumstance, your workplace, whatever the case? When you walk into play, you say, in the name of Jesus, I speak life. And you speak the word of God. You speak the word of God over your family. You speak the word of God over your job. You speak the word of God over your community. You speak the word of God over your government. You speak the word of God over yourself. When you do that, what happens? When the light shines, when you speak the word, it's like clicking the light on. And what happens when you click the light on? The darkness has to flee. Did y'all see that? When you speak the word over whatever dark situation is going on, when you speak the word of God over that situation, the darkness that's caused, made it hard to be able to understand, make it clouded, you're intellectually clouded, and there's no effort. When you speak the word, the light shines and the darkness has to flee. Glory be to God. I do want to share this with you, that God shared with me to share with you. He says this, he says, nothing just happened. He said, sin has no dominion or rulership over you when you're in Christ, unless you give place or opportunity to it. Sin never just happens. He says, whether knowingly or unknowingly, you would have to give place or opportunity to it to have rule over you or your life. Nothing just happens, but it has no place or rulership over you, for you've been brought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and body, which are his. So sin does not have dominion over you. Sin does not even have rule over you. How can you say that? Well, the word of God says it. See, right now, the adversary will try to convince you there's no way out of your situation. There's no way out of your circumstance. There's no way out. But I'm going to show you, no matter how long you've been doing it, no matter how long it's been going on, you can come out today. In fact, you will come out today in the name of Jesus. I want to let you know this first and foremost. You are dead to sin. I know. Pause and think about that. You are dead to sin. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 6, verse number 11, it says this. It says, likewise, you also to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you have ever called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dead to sin. If you have not received Jesus, your personal Lord and Savior, but you like to, man, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that here shortly. And it says, but if you are in Christ, if you are have ever received Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you are dead to sin, but you're alive unto God. In fact, it says, therefore, he says, because you're dead to sin, because Christ has already paid the price for you, because you are in Christ Jesus, he says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you shall obey its lust. See, just confirm what God said. Even though it didn't say sin was dead, it just says you're dead to the effects of it. In other words, it don't have any power over you. It's like you going to a homecoming, or you going to a home going, or going to a funeral, and that person's laying in the casket. You can go up there and you can flick him on his nose. You can pinch his eyes. You can slap his cheeks. No matter what you do to it, that body's not going to move. No matter what you do to it, that body's not going to get up and retaliate against you. It only can do something if that body still has life. And sin, it can only do something to the point to which you allow it into your life. See, it says you don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. It did not say that every temptation was going to go away. If somebody ever told you, man, after you can say you never going to be tempted again, they need to go to the altar and repent for lying, because temptations will come. Whether you obey them or not, that's a whole different ballgame. See, you're not only dead to sin, but you are alive unto righteousness. You're alive unto righteousness. In other words, it says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and this is the New King James Version. Who bore our sins in his own body on the tree? Who did that? Jesus. That we haven't died to sin. Did y'all see that? You're dead to sin. Say that. I'm dead to sin. He says, but I'm alive for righteousness. You're dead to sin, but you're alive for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Not that you're going to be healed in the sweet by and by. Not when we all get to heaven. What a glorious day that's going to be. No, you are healed now. You are dead to sin now. You live unto righteousness right now. I'm going to tell you about a situation that happened. When I first got born again, I had this one area of my life that, man, I was having challenges in. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to do those things. I don't want to even put myself in position for those things to happen. And one day I was sitting at work. I never forget this. I was sitting at my desk and the adversary said, I'm going to kill you. And I started laughing at him. And he said, what you laughing at? I said, if you could kill me, I'd already be dead. You have no power over me. The only power you have over me is the power that I will give you by yielding to this foolishness. Then he said, okay. Then he sends somebody by and they trying to tempt me to do old things that I used to do. And I got these thoughts going on in my head. I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to cast these thoughts down because that's what I've been talking. Oh, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And he says, he took me to this scripture. He says, this is what you begin to say. Remember, the adversary was trying to cloud me with darkness. But God says, when you speak my word, light will illuminate and that darkness has to flee. He says, whenever he says to you, talk to you about what it is you used to do, he says, you tell him this, I am dead to sin, but I'm alive unto righteousness. Now, how many times did I have to say that in that day? Probably about 10, 15, 20 times. Why? Because those thoughts kept coming. And the more those thoughts came, every time they came, I speak that word and I speak that word and I speak that word. And guess what happened? Eventually that he stopped. And guess what happened? Those thoughts stopped. And guess what happened? Things begin to get bright again. I can see. Every time I spoke the word, it got bright. Every time I spoke the word, it got bright. And he tried to bring the darkness back. But when I spoke the word, it got bright again. You got to understand this. The devil can't make you do anything. I know. There used to be this popular comedian back in the day. And he says, the devil made me do it. And sometimes you hear somebody saying it. The devil, he sure is busy. He's trying to do this. He's trying to do that. The devil can't make you do anything. Even if you're not born again, he can't make you do anything. All he can do is give suggestions for you to do things. All he can do is just try to give you this, play this same old song over and over, the same old loop over and over. You're no good. You're no good. You're no good. And he'll just keep saying it over and over and over again till you get to the point where if you keep listening to him, you begin to believe it. And when you begin to believe it, you will start saying it, and then you will start acting like it. And he can't make you do anything. And as a born-again believer, he really knows he can't make you do anything. But all he can do is try to tempt you to do it yourself. Do you know that in order for the adversary to get you to kill yourself, he needs your cooperation? He can't do it. If he could do it, he'd have done it. But he has to get you to do it, or he can get somebody to try to come up against you to try to take you out. But man, the word of God says 1,000 shall fall at my side in Psalms 91, 10,000 in my right hand, but no harm shall come nigh me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. How do you know that the devil can't just make you do anything? Here it is right here. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says this out of the New Living Translation. It says, don't you realize that you become a slave or servant to whatever you choose to obey? What? You become a slave or servant to whatever you choose to obey. You can be a slave or a servant to sin, which leads you to death. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads you to righteous living. Who is the deciding factor? The devil? Nope. God? Nope. Your mama? Pookie? Queequee? Shay Shay? Nope. Who's the deciding factor? You are. I am. Whether I serve sin, even as a born-again believer, is my decision. If I live for righteousness and serve God as a born-again believer, it's my decision. But no one can make you do it. I'm going to share two more scriptures, and this is where we're going to stop. Now, you say, if the devil's not the one who's going to cannot make me do it, and God is not the one who's making me do it, then where in the world is this coming from? Because I've heard people say God's the one who, he'll tempt you with evil. He'll tempt you with drugs to see what you're going to do. He's going to tempt you with sex just to see what you're going to do. That is foolishness. Why would you say that's foolishness? Because the word of God, I just said the word of God said it. He says in James chapter 1, verse 13, he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, including you, including me, including anywhere in the world. God does not use evil to tempt you, to test you, to try you, and to bring tribulations. God does not do that. I said it. You write it down. Go back and study for yourself. God does not use evil to tempt you. God does not use chaos to come up against you. God does not use chaos to bring a lesson, to try to teach you a lesson. God gonna put this cancer on you to teach you about healing. No, God has his word to teach you all those things. He don't have to put those things on you, because what if he put you those things on you and you die before you learn the lesson? Hello. So what's the source of temptation? I'm glad you asked. Y'all so attentive that boy, that's so good. What's the source of temptation? I'll tell you, the source of temptation is this. In the course of James chapter 1, verse 14, it says this. It says, God is not the one who tempts you with evil, neither can he be tempted with evil. How do you end up in temptations? He says this. He says, but each one is tempted. You are tempted when you are drawn away in your own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings death. So it doesn't just happen. It happens in stages. You know, first you might be watching the wrong thing. You might be listening to the wrong thing. You might be hanging around the wrong things. You might be thinking about the wrong things, and it's beginning to entice. It's going to be something that you already desire, and the adversary is just going to feed you with some additional thoughts, or send some additional people by, or send some podcasts by, or send some videos by, or whatever the case may be, to entice you. But when you, even though those thoughts are coming at you, you still ain't in sin yet. It says, when it comes again, he says, when those thoughts and stuff and those things are happening to try to entice you, it says, when the desires conceive, in other words, when you give into it, when you begin to make plans for it, or you begin to watch it a little bit more, you begin to listen to it a little bit more, you begin to see it a little more, you might be hanging out with them a little bit more, telling all your little sweet somethings a little bit more to that person who ain't your wife at your job. Talk about, baby, if you was my man, I would do this for you. No, she won't. She already know you got a wife at home, and she trying to be your extra thing at the job. Guess what? If she will get with you when you with somebody else, she will get somebody else when she's with you. Just a little nugget. Don't worry about that. It's for free. He says, but when it's conceived, it gives birth to sin. Now, even though it is giving birth to sin, it's you haven't done anything yet. So you're getting all these warning signs, warning, 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 turn, 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 turn it off, cut it off, go away from it. Don't speak to it. Don't talk to it. Go this direction. Go that direction. But if you're going to be stuck up and you're going to keep going down that trail into the sin, when sin has fully grown, when you don't dare the deed, when you don't carry out the act, it brings death. What's the adversary going to do? You said you were so saved. You said you weren't going to do that no more. You said that you was going to do this and you was going to do that. But ain't nothing different about you. God's telling you this. He says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, my beloved brother. Don't be deceived, my sister. Don't be deceived. Don't keep giving in to those same old thoughts. Stop giving in to those same old temptations. You know what it is. Come on. Let's keep it 100. You know. It's kind of like, I'm gonna tell you this. This one time there was this parrot in his store. This man went into this pet store, and there was this parrot. And this parrot, when this man walked past that parrot's cage, that parrot said to that man, he says, "You are the ugliest man I have ever saw." And that pet store owner heard that parrot, and he reached in that cage and he slapped that parrot. "Don't you ever say that? Don't you ever say that? Never no more." And he put the parrot back in the cage. The next day, that guy came into the pet store again. That guy walked past that parrot. That parrot looked at that guy and said, "You are the ugliest man I have ever saw." That pet store owner, he was so mad. He grabbed that parrot. He said, "Didn't I tell you that? Don't you ever say that. Never no more." He threw that parrot back in there. A week or so later, that same guy came by. He walked past that parrot. The parrot said, You know, in other words, you know what I really want to say. You know what I'm really thinking. And it's the same thing with you, ladies and gentlemen. You know what area it is that you keep giving into. You know what area it is that you've been letting slip. You know what it is that you don't went to God 5 times crying about the same thing. And God saying that devil doesn't have authority over your sin, doesn't have a rule over you. It only has place in your life as long as you yield to it, as long as you make a decision to obey it. But God says, but not after today. He says, not after today. You got to understand that God already demonstrated his love towards you, how much he loved you when he sent his son, Jesus. And see, today I want you to receive your healing. And this is where we're going to stop. God wants you to receive your healing. How do you see your healing? When you confess your sins, see, the word God says in James chapter 5, verse 16, he says, confess to one another your faults. What's your fault? When you confess your sin to each other, and then you pray for each other so that you may be healed. What happens when you begin to confess your faults? What happens when you begin to confess your sins to one another? Now, I'm not talking about like in the Catholic Church where you go into a booth where the priest is one side and you on the other. No, I'm talking about when you know you have found, even I, as a leader, as a pastor, I have an accountability, brothers. I have 3 of them. And if I'm going through something, first I talk to my wife first, and the next people I talk to is my accountability brothers. And I talk to them and see, as long whatever you're willing and exposed to the light, it shuts the adversary down. Why? Because he wants you to keep it hidden. He don't want you to tell nobody. He wants you to be in the booth in the back in the corner, keeping it on the down low, and it's just you and nobody knows and you struggling. He says, but when you begin to confess it, and Amplify says, when you confess to one another, therefore your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and you pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Because the earnest, effectual, heartfelt, continued prayers of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. You're not after today. Now that you realize and you know that the sin doesn't have authority over you, now that you know that when the temptation comes, you can shut it down by speaking the word over that situation. And if you don't know no words, I got a word for you. Jesus! You shout out the name of Jesus, guess what happened? The light comes on the scene and the darkness has to flee. But if you have somebody that you can trust, you have somebody who you know is more mature in the things of God than you, man, confess your faults one to another. You confess your sin first to God, but you confess your fault. Man, I'm having issues in this area. Man, I need you to come alongside. I need you to pray with me. I need you to pray for me, because the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. And man, I need your help right now. Will you pray for me? I'm going to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, for everyone who's under the sound of our voice, whose hearts are open and who will receive this word. Father, we declare in the name of Jesus, Satan's strategies and attacks and schemes that he's had against our lives cease in his maneuvers and desist in his operations against them now in the name of Jesus. We speak to fear. We speak to perversion. We speak to inferiority. We speak to confusion. We speak to it now and command it to go. In Jesus' name, the light of God's word has been shined upon it right now in the name of Jesus, and the darkness has to flee. Satan, we command you to flee now in the name of Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, minister to the men and women of God who are under the sound of his voice, who are praying this prayer right now, the earnest, heartfelt prayers. Now, in the name of Jesus, we call you free. We call you healed. We call you set free. We call you delivered. In Jesus' name, if you agree with this prayer, say amen. Now, if you've never had an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life, and you like to tonight, or you know you've made him the head of your life at one point in time, but man, you know you haven't been living right, man, let's get that thing right. Let's get it right now. How do I do that? In accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this: the word of God is near you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth, it's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. Pray that prayer with me right now. Say it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Say it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I receive your offer of forgiveness. I'm born again right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for protecting me. And thank you for restoring me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, or you rededicated your life, we want to welcome you back into the kingdom of God, welcome you back in the right position, and welcome you into right relationship with God. Man, what do you do now? You got to get into the word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also teaches you about the kingdom of God and about the love of God. We know that Ignite Depot is such a place. Now, like I said in the broadcast, hey, if you want to catch us on our podcast at Ignite to Life podcast, you can listen to this message and all the other messages that we've ministered before. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juwen and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.